CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump optimistic the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza is holding after a weekend in which both Israel and Hamas accused each other of violating it. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Hamas says they have been going after criminal gangs and that the allegation that they're violating the ceasefire agreement is a false pretext for Israel to resume its heavy bombardment.
Israeli strikes hitting nearly every city in Gaza today. Hospitals in Gaza reporting a total of 36 killed. Israel says two of its soldiers died. A military ordnance went off prematurely over the 5 freeway, shrapnel hitting the California Highway Patrol vehicle assigned to Vice President Vance. He and Secretary Hegseth were at Camp Pendleton to watch a Marine show of force. Governor Gavin Newsom accusing the Trump administration of being reckless. Art experts say unless they're caught fast, the thieves who stole Napoleon crown jewels from the Louvre today will probably break them down and melt them. This is ABC News. Ukrainian drones have struck a major gas processing plant in southern Russia, causing a fire. President Trump is back to saying that Ukraine may have to give up territory in exchange for an end to Moscow's aggression. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth has announced the 7th U.S. strike on a Caribbean vessel that was allegedly carrying narcotics, off Colombia this time. President Trump says he's going to cut off the hundreds of millions of dollars in U.S. aid to Colombia, saying its leftist president does nothing to stop drug production. Argentina is known for its cuts of beef, and President Trump said tonight he may do a deal with them.
The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is beef from Argentina.
And the president commented about the No Kings rallies yesterday held across the country.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country.
I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning 4-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a 4-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number 8th ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30 degrees. Showers are likely on Monday. It'll be blustery with a high near 59, and rain Monday night with a low of 35. Showers and breezy for Tuesday, raw with a high of 45 degrees.
Right now, 35.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, what broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with home.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. Welcome into a TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025. Here, welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock from the home studios at the intersection of State and Fairchild in downtown Madison. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along. Zommers, let's take a quick look out there on the Sam Davidson Street Cam. Outside, a beautiful fall afternoon. Hazy sky. It's kind of overcast. A little sun poking through there, but warmer. Warmer than I thought. So, Ohio State, get it right yet, are in town. And we don't have time. I was going to do a segment on this today with the breaking news. The only question for me with Ohio State, number one team in the country, being in town to take on the Badgers, will Ohio State score 50? 5-0. Will they score 50? What's the over-under? Do you take the over or the under at 50?
I take over.
I take over, too! I'm not wishing it, but I'm just saying it's not going to be pretty. I'm afraid here at Camp Randall, but we'll have the game for you on several of our stations across the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCE, WLAK, and Amory RCE, of course, Richland Center, FHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and on WRPN in Ripon. Kickoff time is right around 2:30. This afternoon on several of our Badger radio networks. And, of course, the Brewers, hope still springs eternal, must win tonight. Crew down 0-3, or 3-0, whichever you want to look at it. Out at Chavez Ravine, Dodgers going to try to get the win and the sweep out there in California. So that one starts a little bit later on, 7 o'clock-ish. Let me see. Let me check my facts here. The Friday game, 7:05, is the first pitch local time here in Wisconsin. Pregame show at 7:38 on our Brewers radio network stations as well. Quickly, top story this afternoon from our newsroom, the University of Wisconsin. This comes from channel3000.com, the CBS affiliate in Madison, the University of Wisconsin Platteville. Will be ceasing operations at its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. The decision came after quote-unquote careful consideration and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Again, UW-Platteville Baraboo closed after the end of next year. We'll continue to follow this into next week, of course. But right now at 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, lighten it up just a bit. I did a uniform change, a costume change during the break. I put my Green Bay Packers, because unlike the Badgers this weekend, I feel good about the Pack. Joining us via his car, driving throughout Wisconsin, one of the stars and producers of the great new film, No Packers, No Life. Once again, here is Ty Morse. Ty, how are you?
Great, Todd. Happy to be here again.
We are absolutely happy to be here. Zomers and I last saw you at the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Majestic Theater, one of the great Marcus Theaters in Waukesha. And not that our 2 cents means a whole lot, but let me tell you, I was blown away by it. I loved it. And I told Craig yesterday, Craig Benzine, the director, that I think for me, two things. A, whichever one of the Japanese cheer team was in the car at night driving by Lambeau right after he'd gotten to Green Bay, and he looks out and he says, I want to live here. And it just, I don't know why, but it just, I was like, I do live here, and I don't think that I look at it through the lens that it should. And to hear him say that, it just got to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, and there was so much of that as they came. It was just like this wonder, amazement, magic for them. And I think it helps us through that lens, you know, kind of rediscover, you know, what, yeah, how lucky we are where we live as Wisconsinites, you know.
Just remind people that have not heard this before, what the heck's the matter with you? But very quickly, the synopsis that Ty goes to Japan, meets these Packer fans, this cheer team at an intersection, and ends up discovering this whole new world in Japan. And then you and your buddies bring, what, about 30 of these folks from Japan to Green Bay, to the mecca of football, to Lambeau Field. And it's just enormously moving. One of the things that I haven't asked you yet, Ty, is were you there specifically that time for a separate business? Or what's your connection with Japan beyond the film?
Yeah, I was there for business. I'm there often for business. We manufacture there. We sell products into the Japanese market. I have a joint venture there. Suzuki, who's in the film, is actually one of my business partners. So we do a lot in the health and beauty space, and that's why I was there. But it was actually a day off for us. Mm-hmm. What we called a hanami, where you go and look at the cherry blossoms. You have some drinks. I brought a guitar. We're playing music. We're drinking some whiskey and soda. And we wander down the street to go do some karaoke, go sing some Bon Jovi. And that's where I found these guys. So it was a business trip, but a day off. And the day off rolled into 7 years of making this documentary.
Isn't that how life happens sometimes? The least expected moments, right? Look, the film is fantastic. It's beautiful to look at. It's so meaningful to be able to look at something that we love here in Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers, and look at it through this lens of this Japanese cheer team, these folks coming here the first time. I know you had an event last night in Mequon with Mason Crosby, who's in the film, incidentally. That's a great, I'm not going to spoil that, but there's a great moment with Mason in there as well that I really liked. But you have an event.
I cried last night again too, Todd. I cried. When I saw it again. It's
beautiful. So cool. It's so cool.
It's so cool. Mason's such a great dude in that moment. I mean, that's why people have to get to the theater to see it. They're going to cry when they see that.
I agree with that. But you had an event last night in Mequon. You're going to an event tonight in Green Bay and then an event tomorrow in Madison here. Tell us about these events and how people can participate.
Yeah, there's special screening tonight in Green Bay. Only a few tickets left for that. And only a few tickets tomorrow night in Madison. It will feature the film and then Q&A at the end with myself and the director, Craig Benzine. It's going to be a good time. It just, you know, people should throw on their Packer gear, grab a beer, and just come sit and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And, those few tickets that are left, you can go to nopackersnolife.com. nopackersnolife.com. Had a couple of people like, is it K-N? No. N-O, nopackersnolife.com. And it can also, and then the show opens up today, right, across many theaters in Southeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse.
Statewide today, yeah.
Statewide. And also, I love this, trolling Bears fans in Gurnee, Illinois. And those tickets can be found at Marcus Theaters, theaters spelled theaters.com, marcustheaters.com. Like you said, Ty, it's experiencing this with other people that I think really makes it special.
I think that's what it's about. It's about getting into the theater. I mean, as Wisconsinites, celebrating our heritage, who we are, but also just seeing the passion of these people that have come all the way from the other side of the world to experience our world. And sitting in the theater with other Wisconsinites experiencing that, I mean, it's one of the best times I've ever had in my life. There's it's so much laughing, some crying, but it's such a blast. So I just recommend the best way to see this is to get to a Marcus Theater and just hang out.
Yeah, I totally agree. We saw, for those out there that saw last year the Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers movie, you know what we mean, because when people are cheering together, yelling together, you cannot get that when you're sitting at home alone, you know, which is most of Todd's life. But no, get out and enjoy it with people. Get out and enjoy.
Yeah, there's so much camaraderie. I mean, everybody's right. Laughing in the theater. We just did it last night.
Right.
It's great.
Zombers?
Yeah, especially because it's a movie about community, and it portrays it so well. And watching it with everybody really brings you into that and reminds us that we are all, you know, wearing green and gold. We're all Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a unifying film. And the other part about it that was just unexpected for me, Ty, and to hear folks speaking in their native language with the subtitles – I don't know. It's. I don't know why I thought there would be more English in that part of it. Maybe because I'm Americanized. But really, what it reminded me of a lot was the first time I saw Dances with Wolves. And whatever people think about Kevin Costner, he was very deliberate in making sure that the native language was on spoken and English subtitles. And to hear that authenticity on the Japanese side, that meant something to me.
Yeah, I think it's their native language, and their the best way that they can passionately speak about it is in their native language. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, but it's wonderful hearing them speak in Japanese, but then seeing the subtitles, and there's so many great moments that I think the subtitles work so well because they're so eloquently talking about things, and you get to see it right there on screen. It's beautiful.
The other part about it was some of your closest friends and family. And was it your wife or your buddy's wife who was like, okay, I'm bringing three people over, and then it kind of grew. And it's just like...
That was my buddy's wife.
Yeah. And it's just like...
That was hilarious.
Okay, we're going to roll with this. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, it started as three. So, yeah, then it was almost 30. And they all rolled with it. And, you know, I heard somebody else describe it as like, it sounded like a foreign exchange program. Putting them in homes and homestays and
right.
Yeah. But I also think it, like, as Wisconsinites, we're really proud, but I also think that the movie, whether or not you even like football, there's just a really beautiful human element of it. It's people connecting around, you know, any type of passion and then building these deep relationships. And I think that's why the film can speak to more than just Packer fans or people from Wisconsin. And that's why I'm hoping more people come out and see it.
That's a great point, because there's not a lot of quote-unquote football footage in this. It really is focused more on the human element of the movie and these relationships and how they grow. And, you know, people come from another country. It's like, what are we getting into here? And the amount of trust, right? The trust from the Japanese cheer team and the trust from your friends and family to welcome them in. And it's all bound together by it just happens to be this team in green and gold.
Yeah, and you know, for them, that trust, that was a huge leap. From a Japanese perspective, the details were so vague. I mean, they say that in the movie. They plan so much. If you send details a week before you're getting together with people, that is like last minute for them. So the fact that we didn't have an itinerary for them and they were getting on an airplane and just arriving, they really had to just offer themselves up to fate. But as they've all said at this point, it was the best decision they've ever made. So
I think it's great. I really hope people get out and see it. Again, if you want to join Ty and Craig at Green Bay tonight, go to nopackersnolife.com. A handful of tickets left for the event tonight to meet the director and producer and star of the film. And then also here in Madison tomorrow at the High Point Cinema, one of the great Marcus theaters, also nopackersnolife.com. And you can buy your tickets for the statewide release and also in Gurnee, Illinois at MarcusTheaters.com. Again, MarcusTheaters.com. Ty Morse, thank you very much. Safe travels up to Green Bay tonight. Thank you very much for all of your association with us and allowing us to be there at that world premiere. I hope the film does smashingly. Everybody should see it. It is quintessential Wisconsin.
Thanks, Todd. You guys have been so awesome. Really appreciate your support. It's meant a lot to us.
Well, we the honor's been ours. And safe travels up to Green Bay. And as they say, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Take care, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. Ty Morris, everybody. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Take your phone calls and more. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Friday, October 17th, 2025. This just hit me, by the way. I believe it's our friend and ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, Jerry Perry's birthday today.
Really?
I forgot. Jeff. I kept thinking, the 17th of October. What is the 17th of October? And I believe it's Jeff Perry's birthday today.
Well, big if true.
Big if true. Happy birthday, Jeffrey, over there on WVMO. Thank you. There's something wrong with me. I'll describe it later. All right, very quickly, let's go to the phone lines, talk a little bit more about this great new film, No Packers, No Life. Still a few tickets for the screening tonight in Green Bay. Your chance to see listen to the filmmakers. Craig Benzine, director, and Ty Morris, producer, star. You can find those tickets at nopackersnolife.com. Also, a screening tomorrow at High Point Cinema here in Madison. Nopackersnolife.com. Anna in La Crosse, listening in.
Rita in La Crosse. You mix the two.
Oh, I do that. I do that frequently. Sorry, but Rita in La Crosse. I apologize. Anna's next. Rita in La Crosse, tuning in our great station up there. Rita, you saw the film?
We just left the theater. We brought our grandson with us. Steve and I did. And I loved it. I heard about it on your radio station because We listen all the time.
Well, thank you.
It was so good.
It was good. Yeah, did your heart good to see that.
Yeah.
The camaraderie between the Japanese people and they all loved the Packers. It was a great movie.
And just,
everybody loved it in where we were.
All we need is love, boy.
That's amazing.
And tomorrow we're going to go to the No Kings parade.
Oh, great.
March.
Yeah.
No Kings March.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Whatever it is. We're going to be marching.
Yeah.
Good
so
for you guys.
I really enjoy your station. And thanks for telling us about that. I think we're probably going to go back and see it again. That's how much we liked it.
Well, thank you for your listenership, Rita. You guys, it means the world to us up there in beautiful La Crosse. And you guys have a great weekend. I think you're right. I mean, Zomers and I saw just a bit outside several times, and you see something new every time, right?
Yeah, we went to see that, too, after you guys told us about it.
Well, we try to pass along good information. Well, you guys have a great weekend, all right? Thank you very much for listening to us up there at WLCX, the Eagle, up on La Crosse on 1490 AM, WLCX. Now let's go to Anna here on WMDX in Madison. Anna, thanks for calling. You saw the movie as well?
I, too, just saw it this afternoon at the Palace in Sun Prairie and loved it. There were several times where I got teary-eyed, and especially when one of them met Mason Crosby in person.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
They teared up, and when they were with their Super Bowl rings getting pictures.
Yeah, it's really cool.
When they first got to Green Bay, and at night, they took them to see, Lambeau Field, and and how they got so excited.
Yeah, it's a special film, Anna. I'm so glad you saw it. Thank you for going and seeing it, and thank you for taking the time to call in and tell us about it. And thanks for listening to us on WMDX. It really means a lot. I appreciate your listenership, Anna.
I listened to you for a long time. You have a great show.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. And you have a great weekend out there in Sun Prairie, all right?
Okay, you too. Bye
all right,
now.
Thank you. That's Anna on WMDX. Well, there you go, Zomers. I hope that Ty was still listening. Two unsolicited viewers, three actually, I guess, total. And there you go. People going out and seeing the film in the wild, and the reviews are in.
And they're right. That's just what it's like. It's such pure Wisconsin sports joy from all around the world. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it really, really is. All right, it's 27 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. So what do we do? We don't really have time for a what's worse.
Yeah, how about just the fun fact?
All right, Barry, time once again for our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Welcome, Ty, once again for another Wisconsin fun fact. All right, that's the official state ballot, by the way. Time for another Wisconsin fun fact. It's a brand new segment. We're still working on it, you understand. It probably should have been at the top of the hour, but we had a lot of other things we had to do. So here now, we're going to give you one of these every day. Wisconsin fun fact for October 17th. On October 17th in 1908, the catastrophic Peshtigo fire reignited again, which reminds me of a 2016 presidential political plays that reignited again this year because Democrats couldn't put a campfire out right now. You see the correlation. The Peshtigo fire reignited, and now you got Trump reigniting, and the Democrats couldn't put him out. Couldn't put the campfire out.
What a time.
You can't buy loyalty like that.
Sorry, I was trying to find a good spot in the song to bring in.
All right, this might be a short-lived segment. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that needs to be workshopped a little bit. But that was another edition of Wisconsin Fun Fact. All right, we're going to come back. It's been much too long since we've talked to our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. Been a heavy news week. Lots going on. Going to be a heavy weekend. Lots going on. We need to laugh a little bit, folks. Need to laugh. Nothing wrong with that. So we're going to come back, and I will tell you the quick version. I went to the doctor right before the show because my glands were swollen. What do you call it? Underneath your chin here, your there's a word for it. I'll explain what happened and why this could only happen to me on the other side, and we'll talk week in review, a humorous edition with Peter Rapine. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Edition for a Friday. Thank goodness on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump optimistic the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza is holding after a weekend in which both Israel and Hamas accused each other of violating it. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Hamas says they have been going after criminal gangs and that the allegation that they're violating the ceasefire agreement is a false pretext for Israel to resume its heavy bombardment.
Israeli strikes hitting nearly every city in Gaza today. Hospitals in Gaza reporting a total of 36 killed. Israel says two of its soldiers died. A military ordnance went off prematurely over the 5 freeway, shrapnel hitting the California Highway Patrol vehicle assigned to Vice President Vance. He and Secretary Hegseth were at Camp Pendleton to watch a Marine show of force. Governor Gavin Newsom accusing the Trump administration of being reckless. Art experts say unless they're caught fast, the thieves who stole Napoleon crown jewels from the Louvre today will probably break them down and melt them. This is ABC News.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a four-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickle.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickle. Wisconsin on the road next week against number eighth ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30 degrees. Showers are likely on Monday. It'll be blustery with a high near 59, and rain Monday night with a low of 35. Showers and breezy for Tuesday, raw with a high of 45 degrees.
Currently 33 degrees.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one Department of Agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Have an egg roll, Mr. Goldstone. Have a napkin, have a chopstick, have a chair. Have a spare rib, Mr. Goldstone. Any spare that I can spare, I'll be glad to share.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. A little gypsy music. I will tell you why that's important. But first, we welcome in our friend, our ongoing contributor, the one, the only, the international man of mystery and comedy, Peter Rapine. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's been a while.
It's been much too long. Missed you, too. He is the managing editor of E-Bombs World, and we're going to get into a humorous look at the Week in Review in just a moment. But, Peter, it turns out, and we haven't told each other these stories, but apparently we both have doctor stories. So I told at the top that we had some serious news we had to take care of. I haven't been feeling the best this week. What are those the gland called again?
The lymph nodes.
Thank you. My lymph node on my left hand side is all swollen up. Not the back of my throat, but the side of my throat has been like weird. It's been weird. So I thought my voice has been going, which is radio. That's no good. So I finally went to I couldn't see my regular doctor. So I'm a very nice guy. And he examined me and everything. And he says, I think it's a salivary gland stone. I have a Peter, I already have kidney stones. Now I have salivary gland stones.
I didn't know that could happen.
I have stones in my kidneys and stones in my neck and my salivary glands. I don't even have time to get stoned. I mean, please. I certainly don't have gold stones. So I said to him, what causes salivary gland stones? And he looks at me quizzically and he says, boy, bad luck. He said, and a Fulbright MD tells me the cause of my salivary stones are bad luck. And I said, well, what can I do? Is there medication? No, he goes, you know what I recommend? He goes, get some lemon heads and suck on those. So this is my medication, lemon head ropes from CVS. I haven't even tried
these. Not too bad.
Have you had those? Have these before? I'm not a big
no. But as far as treatments go, just suck on some candy and it is.
Right?
Oh, could be worse.
This is real. This is real. He goes, I'm going to take a culture just to make sure you don't have like strep throat or something. Mm-hmm. So if two big Q-tips, puts them down. He takes them out. He goes, wow, that's really impressive. You don't have much of a gag reflex.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to say, well, I guess practice makes perfect, but you know. So, Peter, how have you been feeling?
I've been good. Honestly, I walked by a city MD the other day, and I saw a sign for the flu shots, and I know this is the season. So I'm feeling good. I think I'm going to get ahead of the cold season, get my flu shot, maybe get a booster, make sure I don't get sick this winter. Because I never get one. I always get sick for like 2 weeks and it sucks. So hopefully this year I get ahead.
Well, that's good. So did you go to the doctor then or what?
No, I haven't done it yet. It was just a thought I had.
you haven't Next gotten week, the maybe. Flu shot
Yeah,
yet.
I haven't gotten the flu shot yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
So you anticipate that you will get a flu shot.
Yeah.
But half of this battle, Peter, is just saying, okay, I'm going to do it this year.
Exactly. Yeah, last year I didn't do it, and I was sick all of Halloween. And Halloween's one of my favorite holidays, so I don't want to miss out.
Really? Are you a partier at Halloween, or do you?
Yeah, I love to put on a good costume. I love to go out and dance, and Halloween's kind of the best. It's the best party holiday there is, I think.
Yeah. It's it's a good time to have by all.
But all right. Funny that you have a doctor story, because I also have a really good doctor headline for us.
A headline. All right, here we go. Here's why he's here. Every other week, you can find all these at ebombsworld.com. Real headlines of real people, Peter.
Yes. Headline reads, brain surgeon arrested after letting her 12-year-old daughter drill into a patient's skull.
A brain surgeon arrested after letting her daughter drill into a patient's skull. Do tell.
Which, this doctor is clearly winning as a parent, but they are not winning as a medical practitioner. the accusation is that a neurosurgeon in Austria allowed their daughter to man the drill during a surgery on a patient, which I guess you're not supposed to do. That breaks all the medical codes, all the medical do's and don'ts. But imagine how much fun that that 12-year-old had going into work with her mom. And then
take your daughter to work day.
Yeah, and bore a hole in some poor guy's skull.
Wow.
Yeah, so the doctor was fired. and not sure
so if the doctor, there have been so charges. The doctor was fired.
Yeah, and arrested.
And arrested, really? So,
luckily, your doctor, you know, wasn't that bad.
No. The doctor was not drilling into my skull. He was very, very nice. Very nice. He introduced. He took a lot of time. Asked me questions. So you know, all that's really good. It's just that, yeah, I have stones in my salivary glands.
All right, Peter.
All right, Peter Rapine. Next headline.
This comes to us from the world of politics.
All right.
Headline reads: New York County is trying to elect a candidate who disappeared at sea.
Trying to find a candidate disappeared at sea. Do tell.
No, New York County. They're trying to elect a candidate.
Oh, elect.
I'm sorry. Sea.
Elect. I don't know what. See, I don't know what's happening because I don't have the headlines in front of me this week. So I'm just going off of what you said, which is fine. But go ahead. No, it's fine. It's fine. I thought I'm trying to do it by memory.
They have been sent to you.
Zomer sent them to me. I've got kidney stones. I've got salivary stones. Just go ahead. It's totally on me.
So, yeah, a 29-year-old named Petros, I think I'm saying this right, Komitas, went out for a swim in the ocean in the springtime and sadly never returned. the only thing is that this guy is on the ballot for a upcoming election. However, since he is still technically missing and not deceased, he can't be taken off the ballot. So the New York County is hoping that as the Democrat running on their ticket, that people still vote for him, which allows them to hold a special election afterwards.
That's fascinating. So a dead guy could actually get elected.
Yeah, technically not dead yet, but missing. But you'd assume
dead yet.
If he's been, you know, lost at sea for months now, the likelihood that he is alive is
it could sick. Be like that Tom Hanks film, Wilson. Or
Castaway.
What if he comes back and he's like, hey, I got elected?
Yeah, he's like, I won. Great. Right. I've also been out in the Atlantic for months.
All right. I have for some reason, now my email is working and I have the headline. So please, Peter, get all these headlines at ebombsworld.com. Peter Rapine, next headline.
So this next one is an investigation into Raising Cane's, the
chicken place.
Restaurant, the chicken place.
It's big with the kids.
Yeah, I assume there are ads everywhere. And the chicken's supposed to be pretty good. I've never had it, but I assume it's good.
Pretty good. I've had it.
I'm a fan.
But so some context. A photo of a bucket of chicken went viral on Twitter this week. And the claim is that Raising Cane's has throwaway chicken tenders that if you ask politely, they will just give you. And these chicken tenders are ones that might have been ugly, might have been, you know, not up to their standard to serve customers. So we did a little investigation and the headline reads, does Raising Cane's have a weird chicken bucket?
Does Raising Cane's
have weird chicken bucket?
Have a weird chicken bucket. This is great. This is one of the best headlines you've ever brought to us because it's news you can use. Please, dear God, tell me it's correct. Tell me this is correct.
Yeah, so they do. They do have a weird bucket of chicken that they keep under their counter. or somewhere in their kitchen with discarded chicken tenders. However, from people who have worked at Raising Cane's, you do not want to eat these chicken tenders.
Why is that?
Garbage gets in there. It's not very sanitary. It's just a big plastic 3-gallon, 4-gallon bucket filled with the throwaways. So
why do they keep? Why do they put them in the garbage though?
I think they probably wait until the end of the day to do it. It seems like it's just
to keep the line moving
to keep things going. Yeah, there's a photo
on EPOM's World. Oh, look, there is a. If I just scroll down. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm trying to get over salivary gland stones right now. I apologize. It might be better for this segment if I was stoned, but sadly, no. Well, then I see the photo now, and it does look kind of nasty.
Yeah. Well, sadly, if you've ever worked in a kitchen, you know there are like food safety standards, and food that's been sitting out at room temperature for more than, I think, 4 hours needs to be discarded. Can't be served to anybody because bacteria can grow on it. So the bucket probably, while contains much free chicken, also contains much of deadly bacteria that you shouldn't eat.
Yes, please. But it's fantastic that you found out a nice work that it does exist.
It does exist, yeah.
Like you kind of like low-key could be like, if you know somebody, hey, did you just put one of those ugly chicken things in there? Like if it's still warm, like I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, can I have the one on the top, please?
Right. Yeah. All right, next headline from EPOM's World, our humorous week in review.
The next headline comes to us from the airline industry. Headline reads, airline industry now saying that fixing its planes would cost too much money.
Airline industry now saying that fixing its planes could cost too much money, as if people aren't anxious enough about flying.
Yeah, seriously. The Federal Aviation Administration basically ruled that it would cost them too much to go through their entire fleet of Boeing 737s and other planes and fix all the little minor dings and dents that they accumulate over their lifespan, which isn't really something that you want to hear as a traveler.
I don't think I do.
No,
like you don't want to know. Yeah, this 737. I mean, it was in for a bad latch of that rear door about three times last month. I don't want to know that.
Yeah, I guess the airlines, they can either spend their money on those cheap little cookies that they give us, or they can spend the money on fixing the planes.
But I love those cheap cookies. The biscuits, or whatever the hell you call them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'd rather have the pretzels.
Yeah, those are good too. The mini
pretzels.
If you
die in a plane crash, you can't have the cookies or the pretzels.
But I'll be happy going down. I'll have a full stomach. I'll be happy.
Yeah, maybe you could get some lemon heads.
That's exactly what I need right now, some lemon heads. All right. Well, so the moral is don't ask, don't tell. Just get on the plane.
Yeah.
Have an extra gin and tonic and enjoy the flight.
Yeah, get on the plane, say a prayer.
Yep.
And just hope you land. Yeah.
I always do. Actually, I do say a quick prayer before we take off.
See, when I was younger, I wasn't really afraid of flying. And, you know, I've been flying more recently.
Yes.
And I don't mind the being in the air, but I really hate the takeoff. The takeoff is, I think, the scariest part for me because there's a little like back and forth. You turn. Flying, being up there, landing, totally fine. But I'd rather not be awake for.
You ever been one of those like the turbulence is just, I mean, you're just like going really bad.
Yeah.
Those aren't particularly fun.
No. They're not fun.
All right. Next. Oh, that's we got a minute left here. We got a minute left. Let's hold on. Let's hold on. We'll come back and do more headlines with Peter Rapine. Very quickly, relationship's going okay? Everything fine?
Yeah. I'm picking up from the airport tomorrow morning.
Oh. See, this is lovely that Peter is happy. It makes me happy. All right, come on back. More wacky and weird headlines for real people doing weird things. We'll wrap things up for a Friday on the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Could listen to this all night. A drink in my hand. A Manhattan bar sitting next to Peter Rapine and his lovely and talented girlfriend just watching love and blossom right there. That sounds like a night, Peter. Right there.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll make that happen at some point. Peter Rapine is our guest this half hour. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, news of the weird, wacky, wild, and at times spicy. There's a new spicy section. As well. So check it out at EPOM's World. He comes to us every other week with news, the weird, the wild, the wacky. All right, Peter Rapine, headline, next one.
All right, headline reads, there is actually a scientific reason for why cows love jazz.
There's actually a scientific reason of why cows love jazz. Do tell.
So I don't know if you or Zomers have ever seen it, but there are countless videos of people playing jazz for cows on the internet.
I am not.
I saw a recent report in the BBC this week that there's a farm in the UK that regularly brings a small jazz quintet to their farm to play for their cows. And it turns out that the National Institute of Health actually did a study on what the music leanings or preferences of livestock are. And they found that cows, chickens, and pigs prefer jazz music over rock and roll, heavy metal, pop, and it all comes down to the fact that cows specifically have pretty stressful lives. You think about it, you know, they're caged up, things are loud. Also, you know, the whole being raised for food kind of thing probably isn't, you know, very fun. And so why jazz is so popular is because it's smooth and it relaxes them. They caution that you shouldn't, if you're going to play music for your cows or your pigs or your chickens, you want to choose something with a nice slow tempo. You want to make sure you don't play it too loudly.
Okay.
Because if you do all that, the cows will love it. And it's pretty proven.
So like Miles Davis in the barn. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, Miles Davis in the barn. Exactly.
Maybe not the fast bebop tunes I was playing earlier, but some thumping chill.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to get Farm Director Pam Yonke on this. And I love everything about this, Peter. And the fact that they actually did this and found out what they like. And you're right. Cows do have kind of a stress. Yeah. They have four stomachs. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
I think it helps them digest all the grass that they eat. But actually, I do have a personal anecdote. I had a friend in college who did a study for a class of his where he played music for animals. And the control group where he played heavy metal to mice, they all sadly passed away.
Really? Wait a minute. They played heavy metal for mice and they all passed away?
Yeah. They started like losing their hair and kind of going crazy. So.
This is Fowler. Very quickly, we have a caller, Mike in Spring Green, listening to WRCE. Quickly, Mike, tell us this. This is fantastic. Go ahead, Mike.
I have video proof of cows liking bluegrass music because I went out in a field and played my banjo, and they all came up and checked it out.
Really? You've done this in the wild?
It's on YouTube, so I have proof.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that, Mike. We'll talk about it at greater length later. Have a great weekend out there in Spring Green. There you go, Peter. Live reporting just solidifying your great reporting. That ranks up there one of the better headlines ever. All right, next headline.
Next one is fast food. Arby's is being sued for false advertising because their sandwiches look nothing like the pictures. If you've ever been to Arby's and if you've ever seen an Arby's ad, you know there is a giant gap between what you advertise and what you get. And a judge this week actually ruled that a class action lawsuit against the brand can go forward because what you're being advertised and what you get is so far apart. Part of the lawsuit even notes that Arby's in their photos depicts like medium rare or like rare roast beef when in reality it's fully cooked.
I'm laughing because it's 100% true. It's 100%. You never, when you go to Arby's, it's always like this brownish meat. You know, it's never like the pink, you know, and fluffy layers and everything like that.
It's pretty sad. Some of my mom loved Arby's growing up.
I've got nothing against Arby's, but I'm just saying, you're 100% right. The real thing never matches the picture. And wasn't there a Sesame Street bit back in the day of like, you know, that waiter Muppet, you know, and the guy going, that doesn't look like the soup I ordered.
I'm not familiar with it. No.
That's pretty good. All right, go ahead. Next headline.
Next headline reads, this might be one of my favorites. There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth.
What? There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth. Where the heck are they hiding?
I know. That's what I'm saying. So estimates say currently there's like 8.2 billion people on Earth. But a recent study published in Nature Communications estimates that rural populations get undercounted in censuses. One of the examples they cite is that in 2012, Paraguay had a census that completely missed a quarter of the population. So if you extrapolate this for around the globe, because roughly 40% of the world's population lives in rural areas, and they estimate that these areas are undercounted by 54 to 84%, that there might just be an extra billion people out there that aren't on the record books.
No wonder traffic was so bad coming into work today.
It really was.
Do you have another quick one, or should we end it there?
Quick one. 1/3 of Gen Z singles say they only date for the free meals.
Gen Z only dating for the free meals. They don't care about the the hoopy afterwards. They just want the
times
free
are
meals.
Tough, Todd.
Times are tough. Peter Rapine, you're fantastic. You can find all these stories at E-Bombs World. Zomers, Craig Benzine, Ty Morris, and everybody else. Thanks for a great week. Relax. Stay safe out there this weekend. Peter, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging that drum.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. This has been a trying weekend for the Mideast ceasefire. Israel saying two IDF soldiers died in Hamas attacks. Israel carried out strikes on nearly every city in Gaza today. Local officials say 36 people died. In light of the trouble, President Trump was asked tonight what the next step is.
All of that's being is under consideration right now. It's under review.
Insisted that the ceasefire is still in place. Mr. Trump also says Ukraine may have to surrender the land that it's lost to Russia, a change from last week when he was considering selling long-range Tomahawk missiles to help end the war. The California Highway Patrol wants the military to investigate an ordinance that went off prematurely over the 5 freeway as Vice President Vance and Defense Chief Pete Hegseth were at Camp Pendleton to watch a Marine show of force. Shrapnel hit the vehicle assigned to the vice president. A highway sign flashed live weapons over freeway. This is ABC News. Distressed.